If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. I'm excited, as usual, because I have wonderful and good things to share with everyone. And tonight, I would like to speak about today's great divine outpouring, today's mighty movement of the divine that's impacting the entire world, even as we sit and have this dialogue this evening. There is a tremendous move of the Spirit of the Living God that is literally impacting thousands, and I would say, without exaggeration, millions of people worldwide tonight as we sit here and do this radio program. So I'm going to be sharing a little bit of the background that has moved us into this time of tremendous revival and regeneration of the inner man, the inner spirit that constitutes our divine identity. And also tie it in with our understanding of our missions as those messiahs, this radio show is for the messiahs, those anointed ones who have been, for one reason or another, closeted and not fully stepping out into the empowerment that we need to be the transformers of this planet at this time. And make no mistake about it, we are the divine agency through which this planet is going to shift into the golden age, into the fifth dimension, into the ascension program, whatever you want to call that transdimensional consciousness shift that we're in the process of being quickened into and progressing through, whatever your favorite name is, slot it in there, and thus let's look at this from yet another angle. Every show, I would like to take a slightly different look at the prism of truth, reality, consciousness, awareness, so that everybody can tuck in somewhere in their belief systems and their understanding, and we can see that we're looking at one thing, even though the language may be different, the cultural valence, the religious indoctrination, conditioning, whatever, we're looking at one thing, and that's an inner transformation that is impacting and fueling an outer world view. And even though each of us live seemingly in our own discrete worlds, our own auric field of projected imagery that's really inside our own head, still we co-join in groupings that tend to share a similar worldview. And in that, we seem to be moving in groupings that follow after a particular persuasive point of view. I would like to suggest that we are each called to be prophets. We are each called to be fully empowered and anointed to speak God's will, the divine plan, the divine utterances that we would have achieved and activated and quickened in time and space. That is our function as beings that were spirit-breathed in our original creation as set forth as speaking spirits. Of all the spirits, we are the only ones that can speak God's direct will through our own direct spoken word, which is the word of God. There's only one word, and that is that divine living word, that logos that breathed us into creation, that we often call the Holy Spirit. That word we are created to speak in perfect alignment with wisdom and truth and direct divine revelation. So, having said all those good things, I want to read a passage from A Course in Miracles, This is lesson 61, and it's entitled, I Am the Light of the World. Who is the light of the world except God's Son? This, then, is merely a statement of the truth about yourself. It is the opposite of a statement of pride, of arrogance, or of self-deception. It does not describe the self-concept that you have made. It does not refer to any of the characteristics which you have endowed your idols. It refers to you as you were created by God. It simply states the truth. To the ego, today's idea is the epitome of self-glorification. But the ego does not understand humility, mistaking it for self-debasement. Humility consists of accepting your role in salvation and in taking no other. It is not humility to insist you cannot be the light of the world, if that is the function God has assigned to you. It is only arrogance that would assert this function cannot be for you, and arrogance is always a sign of the ego. True humility requires that you accept today's idea because it is God's voice which tells you it is true. This is a beginning step in accepting your real function on earth. It is a giant stride toward taking your rightful place in salvation. It is a positive assertion of your right to be saved and an acknowledgement of the power that is given you to save others. You will want to think about this idea as often as possible. It is the perfect answer to all illusions and therefore to all temptation. It brings all the images that you have made about yourself to the truth and helps you to depart in peace, unburdened and certain of your purpose. You might want to take these statements and say them as I say them. I am the light of the world. That is my only function. That is why I am here. So again, we have become used to thinking of God's Son as Jesus the Christ, and of Jesus when he said, I am the light of the world. And we often completely lose sight of the fact that 10 days after the 40 days that Jesus walked about the earth and appeared to his apostles after his crucifixion and after his resurrection, at a time which we have come to call the Pentecost, which is 50 days, literally that's what it means, he actually gave us that job assignment to be the light of the world, to be his visible presence, his voice, his body, and his miracle-working power, his healing presence, his delivering presence, his saving presence, was endued, empowered, and placed with his followers, which is all of us who choose to be that. Again, it is a choice, but it is not just for Christians. In fact, that is so sad when we equate and limit these great, great beings with a religious box, a God box, I like to call them, and keep them culturally isolated one from the other, so that Hindus then are robbed of the knowledge of Jesus, and Christians are robbed of the knowledge of Krishna, and both are perhaps robbed of the knowledge of Buddha, and so forth and so on. I hope in my talks to begin to erase some of the boundaries that we have placed between the sons and daughters of God, that fully embody the anointing of the living Spirit of God within them and through their lives. There is not a single world faith that you can look at that doesn't have exemplars who are embodying the Spirit of the living God and doing wondrous works. But Jesus is interesting in the sense that he is humanity's elder brother. He is the very first fruit of the Adam Kadmon, the whole evolutionary thrust is to present a body, a collectivity of human consciousness that embodies that quality that we call the Christos, or the anointed state of awareness. And so Jesus is the prototype. And because of that, he's minimalized when we confine him to a religious belief system or confine his teachings to one singular scriptural book or try to say that what he had to say, he was talking about himself. Jesus never spoke about himself. He spoke through the anointed power of the living God within him, or the Atma, or God realization, or that divine state of presence, which totally owned its empowered beingness, its empowered divinity. And that's what we're called to do as well. The reason why we have not fully transformed our planet is because many of us are not comfortable with, for whatever reason, in stepping out and being that vaster presence in the world. And I think the main reason that we don't is because we're conditioned to follow somebody else's truth instead of having the courage to follow our own. We must step into our own direct experience of God. And let me ask us here at this point, and it's going to be a you asking you this, but I'm asking myself too. Do you know about God, or do you know God? Most of us know about God secondhand through listening to clergymen, participating in church or synagogues or mosques or gurudwaras or whatever, through partaking of rituals, through sacraments and yajnas and pujas and meditations and mantras and gurus or channelers or New Age practices or shamanism or the study of world religions. But you know what? You can squeeze those scriptures until they're wrung out like a dish rag, and you won't get a single drop of anointing out of those scriptures, that dead letter of the word. You've got to use whatever the outer form is to go beyond the outer form, to pierce through it. The only good of any form is to hold a concept still long enough that you can go through it. And it's going through it that gives us the direct experience of God. Now, I'll let you know how you can have absolute proof that you've had a direct encounter with the Lord. Because when you've had a real encounter with the Lord, you will never be the same. Knowing about something does not transform you. And nowhere does that apply more than when it comes to the things divine. Knowing doesn't cut it. It doesn't transform your life. It can make you a theologian. It can make you a brilliant scholar or writer. But it can never transform your human heart. It can never take a heart of stone and make it soft and compassionate. It can never birth miracles. It can never truly be authentically creative. It can be imitative, but not creative. So how to tell if you have truly transformed your life, if you've had that transformative experience, is that your day-to-day life will give evidence of that. Your whole life changes when you've had an encounter with the Beloved, with the Lord, with Jesus Christ, whatever you want to call that divine presence, when you've had an authentic encounter with God, you are totally changed. That's why it's been called being born again. It's a perfect description. I personally had that experience 8 years ago, and I have to tell you, I was as different from 1 minute as if I had had a walk-in experience and a whole different entity had come into me. I did not have that walk-in experience. I had an authentic encounter with Jesus, an authentic encounter. And I had thought I'd had it before. I had convinced myself I had had it before. But when I had it, there was nothing to say about it, except nothing looked the same to me again. And everything in my life changed. So your attitude changes, your speech changes, your interests will change, your friends will change. In fact, most of them will turn and leave, be very upset with you. Your activities change. And suddenly the things that you did before, you have absolutely no interest in doing those things. You may even have an abhorrence to them if they're negative things. I have personally seen people delivered from every kind of an addictive pattern you could imagine. I have seen them absolutely delivered from alcoholism and the most difficult forms of bondage to drugs and to crime and to negativity and to hateful attitudes. I have seen people myself, personally, with my physical eyes, utterly, completely, totally transformed. And I have seen every kind of disease, including AIDS, including terminal cancer, including totally blind, crippled, maimed people instantly healed. That was what transformed my life. I was a person that, I suppose like a lot of people, I needed to experience it directly, and I had to see it. I had to see, how is this being born again different from being, say, for example, having a state of samadhi, which I'd had many times. I've been a meditator for many, many, many decades. And I can go into samadhi. I can go into nirvikalpa samadhi, where you're totally unified with God. But I have to tell you, it didn't transform my life. I'm a scholar. There's probably not a single spiritual path on the planet that I haven't studied deeply. My whole life's been about that. But I cannot tell you how different it is knowing about something intellectually and having that transformative experience yourself. There is no substitution for absolutely emptying yourself. Last week I said, like a little kitten at the feet of the Lord, belly up and all soft parts exposed. When you belly up before the Lord and say, help! Doesn't have to be any more eloquent than that. There's a time when your soul gives that primal cry. That's the only way I can describe it. It's a silent call that your heart, your spirit makes. When you have been there, done that, studied it all, done all the trainings, followed all the gurus, done all the shtick, and you still wake up in the same state again and again. And I was becoming increasingly disenchanted, let's say, and disgusted with my own life, my own work, the things I was seeing around me. It just seemed to me like so much hype and so much hyperbole. I just don't want any more of it. I don't know what I want, but this ain't it. This is not cutting it. So out of that state, when I had done everything else, I gave, and pardon the cliche, but I got to tell it like it is, I gave Jesus a chance. I gave him full rein. Just have your way with me. You're the only one in this entire universe that I completely trust without the slightest little edge of doubt. So therefore, I ask you to pick me up by my heels, shake me, and get all the crap out of me, everything you didn't put in me, get it out of me. Get the people out of my life that you haven't purposed for me. Get the activities out of my life that you haven't called me and anointed me and appointed me to fulfill. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want the truth. I want to be free. And that was the cry of my heart. And I had one of those meltdowns in my little room. There was nobody around. I wasn't in any kind of church or anything. I was just having a moment with God. And this incredible power hit me. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. And when I got up, I was free. And the only thing I can say is that when you are free, you know you're free. Before that, I was always trying to get free. I was always trying to get liberated. What is liberation? I've done everything to experience that. And I had, you know, those peak moments that every meditator has. But I hadn't been set free, truly free. And when I was, I remember I was a keynote speaker at a large New Age conference. And I remember I walked up to go on stage. And some of my peers, my friends that are also in this work, they said, "My God, what happened to you? What happened to you? Your energy is totally different." I thought, "Well, man, I must have been pretty bad. I thought I was doing pretty good before." But they were seeing the transformation that had come on me. And I said, "Well, I've had a powerful experience with God." And they said, "We can see that." And they asked if they could have some private time to talk to me at some point when we wouldn't all be mobbed by the people that were coming to this conference. And so I had a chance to share. And there were some that I could share fully with that were also in that same place, and others that I realized they weren't quite there yet, and there wasn't much point in saying the full story. So there's a timing, and I think each of us comes to a time in our incarnational patterning. And whether we want to call it absolute surrender, emptying, self-emptying, repentance, there's so many names for that process. But it's when you realize, you know what, I can't do this by myself. No matter how hard I try to change my behavior, to be loving, to be Christ-like, to be Krishna-like, to be enlightened like Buddha or whatever, it's not happening. So now what? And you know, it's so interesting because the secret is that enlightenment is a move of God. It has nothing to do with our little petty ego selves whatsoever. If we could enlighten ourselves, if we could transform our hearts, if we could know all things and be wise in all ways out of our own flesh, guess who would get the credit? Our little ego would just get puffed up like a little blowfish and take all the credit to itself. And that's why that last enlightenment, that last aha, that last coup de grace is always the move of God. It's always the mighty transforming spirit of the living God that suddenly catches us when we least expect it or at our moment of greatest duress. Often people come to this state when they're flat down in the gutter. They're just absolutely have nowhere to go but up. For me, it was intellectual. It was knowing too many things, being too wise in too many things, and yet lacking wisdom. So, my beloveds, I really, with all my heart, want to be as real and as transparent as I can be when I share these shows with you, because they come out of my heart, sweat, tears, blood, guts, my direct life experience, and things that I have worked through the chrysalis of my own beingness. I feel that they're authentic to share with people only when I have rested them through my own life and say, "Look, it's kind of messy, it's kind of dripping with gore, but you know what? This is real. This is real. This stuff works." And anyway, that's what I wanted to share with you. So today, I want to share something that's happening that probably very few people in the New Age movement are even aware is happening, for the simple reason that knowledge seems to go underground, real knowledge, when it's really, really cool, when there's really a happening thing. It tends to go in loops underground. So if you want to find it on CNN, if you want to find it in Psychology Today, if you want to find it in some of the magazines out there, forget it. You probably aren't going to. You got to know somebody that's in the inner loop, the inner circle, and then you know. And I got a call. Actually, it was a woman I called that had just joined our Astro Galactic website. And she said, if you heard about the tremendous revival that's occurring in Lakeside. And I said, no. And, you know, I know of a lot of revivals that have occurred through the years. And so she went on to share with me. And I went online to check it out because it involves somebody that I do know that I've had a direct experience with. And this is the story. I find my note here so I can read it accurately. Okay. The Lakeside Assembly of God Church in Moulton, Georgia, called the Ignited Church. So if you want to look it up, Google Ignited Church. And Todd Bentley. So Todd Bentley is an Englishman that I had the pleasure of going to one of his meetings. He's an evangelist and a healer and operates in the charismatic gifts. Charismatic comes from the Greek word charis, which means the gifts. It's the supernatural gifts of God's Spirit. When God's Spirit is poured out through a human being and operates in miraculous ways, whether it's healing or prophecy, or taking authority over conditions or negative entities, whatever, that's called the anointing of the charismatic gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So Todd Bentley is a young man that has tattoos all over, earrings. When I saw him, he had spiky hair, and he had studs, and he looks like a biker. And he comes out of a drug and alcohol and near criminal, you know, wipeout at one point in his young life. And he had that transformative experience I was telling you about. Totally changed him. He went from absolute degradation to absolute anointed, empowered ministry. And he's got a ministry called Revival Fires. And I went to a wonderful church in Redlands, California that many Christians know quite well. It's pastored by Bill Johnson. It's a Pentecostal church, and they have a fabulous school of supernatural ministry in which they teach they have a lot of young people that come from all over the world to learn how to operate in the spiritual gifts of healing and prophecy and all of the charismatic gifts. And anyway, he was giving a guest evening, and I went to it. And I had a particular condition in my body that was giving me a lot of trouble, and I was sitting way back in the congregation because the place was huge and it was packed. And he began to call out healings as he was seeing in the spirit. It's called the word of knowledge. When all of a sudden, supernaturally, you can see a person inwardly, and the Holy Spirit reveals what's wrong with them as the Holy Spirit is bringing healing to that condition. So he was calling out every symptom I had in my body. I was listening. I thought, wow, that's amazing. But I was too shy to stand up. So a couple people stood up. He said, no, it's not you. It's not you. It's a woman. And then he began to describe how I had injured myself and got in that condition. And then I had to stand up because, I mean, it was all over me. So I stood up, and he said, it was you. And he pointed his finger at me and said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And my body flew up in the air, fell back against the pew, fell on the ground, shook like I was having a fit under the power of the energies that was healing me. And I got up with that condition completely gone from my body. He was an amazing young man. Anyway, this young man, Todd Bentley, went to this church in Moulton, Georgia, and was going to do a series of five-day talks. And the power of God, the Holy Spirit, hit that church, and revival ignited. In fact, people, as we speak tonight, are participating in events that are healing and touching and transforming lives by the millions, I would say, all over the planet. The websites were so packed that, and the crawl, you know, with all of the people writing in and giving testimonies and saying their healings and everything, it was just jammed. So you can watch the clips. Go to, it's on several streams. It's on us.godtv.com, and it's on, well, just Google Ignited Church, and you will find it, or Todd Bentley, and it will bring you to where you can see the revival as it's going on and be healed. You know, that's something about Jesus, is that everywhere he went, throughout every story in the Bible, he healed everyone. He didn't stop to ask if you had karma, or if you were worthy, or if you were a saint or a sinner or whatever you were. He didn't care. He didn't care what religion you were. He didn't care what state you were in. He healed all. Everybody. Everybody. So healing is for everyone. Never let anybody tell you, oh, that's your karma. That's your cross you got to bear. Oh, God only healed back in the Bible times. He doesn't heal today. That is malarkey. God heals. I know. I have been healed several times with several different conditions just by watching the 700 Club on TV or calling for prayer, one of these ministries. So healing is for everyone. It's part of salvation, which means to return to wholeness, to return to your original divine state, is to be saved, is to be born again. It's to be born anew in your original holiness, your original state of wholeness and completion, which includes healing and deliverance from any form of negative bondage, whether it's alcohol or drugs or whatever your thing is that has brought you down into the dumps, or depression. All of that stuff is a form of bondage that prevents that anointed one that you are from stepping into everything that the divine has planned to source through you. So it's a matter of simply receiving, just being ready and available to receive like a little child or like a little belly-up kitten or puppy. Just receive it. So you can go there today after I'm off the air if you want and participate. And this, I understand, has spread now to such a degree that they've had to move out of their 700-person church to the Auburndale Life Church. And I don't know where it is, but I guess it's in that area. So if you're near Moulton or Moultrie, M-O-U-L-T-R-I, Georgia, wherever that is, you might want to head towards the Lakeside Assembly or the Auburndale Life Church and physically be present and experience this tremendous move of God that is occurring. This is prophetic. It is something that the prophet Joel spoke about, and he said that in these days that we're in now, that God would pour out his spirit upon all men and women, boys and girls, and they would prophesy, and they would have visions, and they would dream. And that spirit would be poured out on all flesh. So that means it's for everybody. It isn't just for charismatics and Pentecostals and Christians and born-agains. It is for whoever will receive it. Whoever will receive it. It's there for the receiving. Just get under that sometimes it's called fire, sometimes it's called the rain. Just get under that energy and let it transform you, and you will not regret it one bit. I find often we rob ourselves of some of these wonderful things that are there for us because we get polarized in belief systems. I've encountered it in the New Age, and I've encountered it amongst the evangelicals. I would say I belong to both groups. I'm a New Ager. I'm an evangelical. I'm a born again. I'm a whatever you want to call those of us that meditate and chant mantras and follow gurus. And I identify with all of those things. And there was a time in my life when I felt there was nothing whatsoever to be gained from going to church, reading the Bible, or participating in my original faith as a Christian. I was convinced that the Eastern teachings had a much better path, and I pursued that for most of my life. And then I found that the New Agers pretty much think that way themselves. They really, very few of them are familiar with the Bible, and also very, very, very few of them, are operating in those empowered gifts that I have seen absolutely everywhere I look in the charismatic movement. And then you have the evangelicals. Not all of them, but many of them believe that the New Agers are following the devil and that our teachings are full of deception. And there's deception, you know, in the New Age, and there's deception in amongst the evangelicals too. There's cults and Christian cults, and there's cults and everywhere. So it's not like you swallow hook, line, and sinker. You have to use your discernment and test the fruit. See if there's really, really positive fruitage from whatever it is that you are believing and trying to practice. Are you getting those results? Are you really getting free? Are you really experiencing the presence of God, the love of God, the empowerment of God, the enablement, the anointing of God? Are you or aren't you? And if you're not, you just might want to try a different approach and see if there's something there for you. I did, and boy, am I grateful I did, because it has really expanded my understanding of God and how to really minister in a power that's so much greater than my own power. It's so much greater and bigger than any of us. So give it a chance. And you evangelicals, if there's any that watch or listen to my show, there might be. please, don't discount all New Age information as being of the devil. Some of it is really good. And you know what? Jesus is the Lord of New Agers and Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims and everybody, not just people who claim to be Christians. In fact, Jesus said to one group of presumably Christians, get away from me. I didn't even know you. So you can wear the label and you can wear the cross and you can carry the book, but if you're not living the life, if your life doesn't show evidence of that presence of the Lord within you and operating through you, you know, the old saying is, if it looks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, it's a duck. So what kind of a being are you? Are you one who is truly an ark of the living covenant in which the Spirit of the living God dwells? Are you the Holy Grail in which the Christ is held? And if you are, boy, people will see you walking, and they will say, there, that is the presence walking amongst us. We all know and someone who dwells in that presence. We saw it in Mother Teresa, and we see it in Billy Graham, and we see it in great souls throughout the world. Forgive me that I don't have a lot of them in my mind right now to share, but we've all seen these great, Albert Schweitzer, you know, these great stags of the forest, that when they walk into the clearing, there's a hush that falls, because true holiness always stuns us to that inner stillness. That inner stillness is the presence of the Holy Spirit, simply, quietly brooding upon the waters of our life, hovering over the life force within us, waiting to be released in service. And I want to also speak a little bit about the charismatic movement because it's interesting in that it's impacting people from all walks of life, creeds, religions, and cultures. It is not a religion. It is not Christianity. It is a supernatural outpouring of the Spirit of God, the Shekinah or the Shekinah, power of God, the third aspect of divinity or the Trinity, which is the miracle-working power that sourced through Jesus. The Shekinah power is what resurrected Jesus from the grave, from the tomb. It's what enabled him to do that power. When he said, I of myself do nothing. It is the Father within me who does all the works. And when someone called him good, he said, why do you call me good? There is no one good except the Father. So when he was speaking of the Father, he was speaking of the presence. And when he was in operation, he was operating through the power of the presence of God, which is called the Holy Spirit. So there's God, the creative aspect, God, the manifestation, creator energy, which is the Holy Spirit, and then there is the Son of God, or the vessel, the vehicle through which that power flows. So we have within us the Spirit, or the monad, the I Am presence, which is the Father. We have the Son, which is Jesus, or Christ, the Christ consciousness within us, which is the inner, the Lord within our heart, the Son of God, the Son of Man and the Son of God, that's you and me and Jesus and everyone. And then you have the miracle-working power that we connect with, gets quickened within us, gets activated, and it begins to source through us in supernatural wonders, signs, and miracles, which always bear testimony to truth. If you find the word being spoken without the confirmation of healings and transformative processes taking place, then you're studying and following something that's dead. You're following something that doesn't have that quickening Holy Spirit. Maybe it's spirits of some sort, but it's not the divine Spirit of God, which always produces dramatic transformation. Sometimes the healings are instant, and sometimes they're progressive, depending on whatever would be for the highest good of that person. And the Course in Miracles says that healing is always 100%, regardless of how it looks on the outside. So the healing is done the minute you receive the healing, and the Holy Spirit will give the manifestation of that in a way that's appropriate for that person. So the Course in Miracles has helped me to understand a great deal about the operation of the Holy Spirit, as has a great deal of research into the topic. Those of you that would like to have more information, I would suggest the books by Benny Hinn, who was taught directly by the Holy Spirit. He's not a product of Bible college or theology. Benny Hinn had a direct experience and encounter with the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And, of course, his ministry is famous the world over for the healings that occur in his crusades. And I've been involved with Benny Hinn Ministries for many years now. So, again, this is firsthand experience. Another person that I'm also involved with that has a powerful charismatic healing ministry is Joyce Meyer. She's on every television station practically you turn on. Another couple that I don't know personally but have benefited a great deal from their ministry is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And another one is Marilyn Hickey. These are all people who really know how to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and whatever they teach has that ability to impart that understanding to you. So, again, these revival fires, when they're ignited in a body of people, a group of people, like what's happening now in Lakeside, it has a way of catching a momentum that you can receive. It's an impartation that quickens your own spirit when you get in a group of people, or you watch it on television, or preferably if you can get in a group, a charismatic group of people, boy, it just spreads, and it's very, very powerful. And you can get it in the privacy of your own living room, your own bedroom, wherever you're watching TV, or in front of your computer screen. because, remember, it doesn't have to do with people. It has to do with God and us being available for that transformation to take place. The baptism by fire is spoken of when John the Baptist, when Jesus came to be baptized in the River Jordan in the Bible, it gives that story, and they asked John the Baptist if he was the Messiah, and he said, no, he said, I baptize with water, but one is coming who is greater than I am, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to touch, and he will baptize you with fire. And then he saw Jesus coming at one point in the throngs of people that were coming to be baptized, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is the one of whom I have spoken. And so this impartation has been given collectively to humanity by our elder brother Jesus, who set the template, the divine schematic in place so that we could return to the pre-fallen, pre-Adamic state of the divine image and similitude of whole light integration and quickening. With all the gifts, with all the abilities, with all the miracle-working powers, they are for you. The woman that I spoke to last night said, I have been told by many, many people that I have a gift of healing, and I'm just wondering when it's going to manifest. I said, well, beloved, it's given, and now it's for you to practice it. You have to step out in faith and operate in the gifts. I was so inspired when I was participating in the choir at Benny Hinn, watching all these miracle healing things taking place. It's like, oh, wow, I want to operate in that too. So I joined a charismatic church and started laying hands on everybody that had anything wrong with them. I'd say, can I pray for you? Can I lay hands on you? And pretty soon we had a whole group of us that met every Friday night, and we would have healing meetings, and more people started getting healed. And at first, you know, very little happened because we weren't really operating in the full anointing. We were just kind of courting it, but we were acting in faith, and God honored that. So when you step out in faith and you keep stepping out and stepping out and stepping out, whoever makes himself available, the Holy Spirit will use you. You know, God is no respecter of persons. God will use whoever steps forward to be used. So don't think you have to have gifts or you have to be a certain way or anything. God will use anybody. And that's how the great Catherine Kuhlman got her ministry. She said, Lord, I have absolutely nothing. I don't have money or looks or prestige or anything. I don't have any gifts. I don't have any talent. But if you can use nothing, here I am. And boy, the rest is history. If you want to hear the story of a great woman that was a great, great vehicle for the Holy Spirit, do a little Google on Catherine Kuhlman and read her story. So there's many examples out there. And also Smith Wigglesworth, who was a plumber in the UK. And he was another great man of God, tremendous. He used to raise people from the dead. John G. Lake is another one. He used to raise all sorts of people, so many people from the dead. I mean, probably a lot of you've never even heard of these things taking place. Again, you gotta go in the underground. You gotta go under the loops, the charismatic revival fire loops. And you will find story after story, even today, of people being raised from the dead, being resurrected, being healed of AIDS and cancer and everything. There is no disease that has not been healed miraculously by the power of God. You don't have to deserve it. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be anything. You just got to show up and allow God to do that God thing, which is to make you whole. So, again, we're taking another look at truth. We're looking from a different lens. We're looking through the charismatic lens today. And I'm very excited because as soon as I go off the air, I'm going to go online and participate in this revival fire, this outpouring that's taking place. And I guess it's just going on until these things go on sometimes for days and weeks and months. sometimes even years. Some of the great revivals that are still taking place, actually some of them that were in the past that we can research is the Azusa Street Revival of 1906 in Los Angeles, here in Los Angeles. Just had its 100-year centennial, 2006. There's the Toronto Blessing, the Toronto Airport Christian Center, run by John Arnott and his wife, is going on as we speak. If you're in the Toronto area, go check that out. It's Airport Christian Center, Toronto. Heidi Baker has a tremendous ministry that was quickened and activated and anointed by the Holy Spirit getting a hold of her. And now she has a miracle-working ministry, she and her husband in Mozambique. It's just tremendous, tremendous miracles that she is participating as an instrument of. Then you had the Brownsville Revival in Florida. You have the Boiler Room Revivals in England. Many youth, street youth, suddenly started prayer groups and started having miracle transformations occurring through their little groups. I understand that the Vineyard Church here in Lancaster, California, before the pastor passed away, had a tremendous revival, and people were flying here from all over the world. There's a powerful church here in town called the Shekinah Worship Center that I've been going to that also is got a tremendous destiny in the healing and the miraculous. So these revivals crop up all over the place, and it's been said that we're living in the greatest spiritual revival that has hit this planet in the last 2,000 years. And again, it's a fulfillment of prophecy, because even though the times look very dark outwardly in the world, that it was prophesied that during the time of the greatest, grossest darkness, that God's Spirit would move. So you got to look beyond the news, look beyond CNN, look beyond all the scary things that are out there, and look and see what's happening in the spirit. Use those spiritual abilities. Begin to practice. Step out in faith and begin to see what you can discern in the spirit about what's really going on behind the scenes, what's really going on behind the obvious forms. Look beyond. Train yourself to be truly clairvoyant, that you have clear sight in the spirit and clear hearing in the spirit and clear sensing in the spirit. Many people are empathing all sorts of things, but they're not trained in how to take authority over them. And the great scholar and also biblical scholar, Dr. J.J. Hertak, who wrote The Keys of Enoch, tremendous man of God. He has tremendous insight into the scriptures and many, many, many tapes that you can get where he has done tremendous research in the prophetic word and in scriptural interpretation. And he said there will be a collective speaking in tongues that's going to fall upon all people at some point, and we will stop wars right in their tracks. We will stop these deadly storms. We will be able to materialize right out of the elements, the food, just like Jesus materialize the loaves and the fishes by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are in those times, beloved, when who cares if oil goes to 200 a bushel, or who cares if these things happen? It's going to force us to step out in empowerment and through the power of the Holy Spirit begin to take dominion over these things which speak of lack, when we live in an abundant universe as part and parcel of an abundant life force, of an abundant God. And we shall prosper, we shall heal, we shall transform the earth, we shall be the collective messianic force that moves forth, anointed by the power of the living God, and we will indeed move into that divine kingdom that we call the fifth dimensional version of the earth. And we will do that not through our own steam, but through the power of our faith, as we learn to allow ourselves to be empty of what we think we can't do and just allow God to use us as living stone, as living temples, as tabernacles, to do the greater work through us. And so all we have to do is show up and just start acting in faith. If you want a gift, assume you have it, ask the Lord for it, assume you've gotten it, and then start using it. Start using it. Because the more you use it, the more you will increase your ability to be used. And that's the key. That's what activates it, is stepping out in faith. So go for it, beloveds. Get out of the closet and begin to manifest in your charismatic ministries of healing and delivering and setting people free. That is your divine commission right from the very throne worlds of God. And, again, an hour goes so fast, I hardly have a chance to share even a third of what I want to say. But thank God there's another show next week, and God willing, I'll be here to share it. So, again, let's sing hallelujah as we go out tonight. Ale means praise, and Yah means God. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Good evening.